It's the name of Jesus. Rely on the name of Jesus. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about today. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 16. I don't know why this doesn't get taught more than what it does. But the name of Jesus is not just a lucky charm. You know, it's just not something that you just throw in there. It's not something you have to be special to use. All you have to be is born again. That's the only qualification. Isn't that cool? Once you get born again, you're qualified to use the name of Jesus. Now look at John 16, verse 24. So does this matter? Does he carry a machete around or some kind of a weapon? The one on whatever movie you're talking about?
Yeah, some kind of weapon. I think it was a machete.
Oh, okay, cool. I got a machete. Okay. Oh, he was picking on me. John 16, verse 24 says, well, I'm going to go up to verse 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked me nothing. Have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Okay, there's a couple things I want you to see. Verse 23. Jesus is talking here, and he says, verily, verily. Now, if I was in an oil field, my verily, verily would say, wake up and pay attention. That's what it means. Wake up and pay attention. Pay strict attention. Verily, verily, he said, I say unto you, whatsoever, circle that word, whatsoever. Whatsoever means whatsoever. A lot of religious folks say, well, he'll meet your need at this particular moment. He'll meet, well, there was a hair, a long hair. I had to get it out of there. It was bugging me. It wasn't a nose hair. It was a hair. Yeah. Whatsoever means whatsoever. You got to understand that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Not just your day-to-day needs. You've got to understand we have an abundant God. We have a too much God. We have a God that wants to meet everything that you need, and he wants to meet godly desires. You know, now there's some people that get all freaked out and they think, oh, he's going to give me everything I want. And they got just some crazy ideas on what they want. God's not going to honor that. But if it's not going to hurt somebody, including you, if it's not against the law, if it's not wrong, if it's a good thing, he'll meet that need. He'll meet that desire. Amen? You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Now, let's look at this here again. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father, He's teaching us how to pray. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. So whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's about meeting our own needs right there. I've ran into people that say you should never pray for yourself. That's just being selfish. You should. You better. You better at some point learn how to pray for yourself. How else do you think he's going to meet your needs? By luck of the draw? He said he'd meet your needs. He's like your dad. You go to your dad in confidence that he's going to meet your needs. Amen? It says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Do you suppose a new telescope will bring joy to your heart? Well, he knows how much you like looking at the stars. Have you asked him for a new telescope? Okay, keep believing for it. He likes to meet the needs of his children. You know, for you parents out there, when you had little kids running around, and they're just little kids, and one of them come up and ask you for a bicycle, said, do you really need that? I mean, is this something that you just have to have? What is this going to do for you in your day? Do you really need this? I just want a bicycle. It's okay to want something and ask God for it. Amen? It's okay. He is not a hard, tight-fisted God. He's a Father that loves you, and he wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy in your heart. Now here's the thing. All the power and all the authority that Jesus had is invested in his name. The question is, do we have the power of attorney to use his name? Do we have that right? Well, John 16:24, Jesus said we could use his name in prayer. Now we can use his name in prayer in dealing with demons, in ministering healing. That's the secret. Remember, up until now, he said, you hadn't asked anything in my name. Now he's speaking about a new day. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. We do not ask for Jesus' sake. We ask for our sake. It isn't Jesus that needs an answer. We need the answer. Amen? Jesus has everything. And the only way we're going to get what we need is if we receive it from him. Verse 23 says, you ask the Father in my name. I'll endorse it, and the Father will give it you. See, he's our high priest. Always in the Old Testament, when somebody needed to converse with God, they had to go to the high priest. And the high priest, what they needed, the high priest, to go to God and get their answer. Or they go to a prophet. We don't have that system in place anymore. There's a lot of Christians that act like that system is still in place. I had a guy come ask me one time, I need you to pray for me. I need you to ask God if he wants me to go into the cow business. And I scratched my head and I went home and I thought, I'm not going to waste my time on that. He's running around preaching, acting like an authority, and he's asking me to go hear God for him. Do you see how crazy that is? Adam got kicked out of the presence of God. That broke God's heart because he wanted to be in Adam's presence. And then it took thousands of years for God to get back in the presence of his creation. And he wanted to have a one-on-one personal relationship with his creation the way he designed it in the garden. So when Jesus got here and fixed what Adam messed up and gave it back to us, God had his way back into the presence of his creation. And now we have pastors all over the place that are trying to put themselves in a position where everybody needs to go ask them what they need to do or how they need to do it. Is this a girl I need to marry? Is this a job I need to take? Should I go into the ministry? Should I do this? Should I do that? Go hear God for yourself. Take a little time and learn how to listen to him. You have to get in the Word so he can have an intelligent conversation with you. But he will do that. He just needs a little bit of cooperation from you. Amen? And he'll start off, you know, he's not going to be Charlton Heston's voice. Have a thunderclap, a burning bush moment. And he'll start off with a few words. You'll hear him in here. And what was really kind of a trip is it sounded like my voice. I wondered about that. Somebody said, well, if he talked to you in Charlton Heston's voice, it'd take us 3 weeks to get you slowed down. You might not stop running. Well, that makes sense. It'd be a familiar, still, quiet voice. Amen? Learn to listen for it. Learn to listen to it and deal with it. You may have heard or even said, God will if it is his will. God will heal you if it's his will. God will bless you if it's his will. God will do this if it's his will. But it might not be his will. God answers prayers and sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's maybe. It must not have been his will because he didn't do it. You know what all these, this is these doubt and unbelief and misunderstanding of the Bible and misunderstanding of God. This right here, starting in the Gospels, is his will. He wrote it down. This is his will. The Bible tells us that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the prayer, we have the answers to the prayers that we ask. This is his will. Remember, God said, come and remind me of my word. Is God getting forgetful? He said, let us reason together. No, he's showing us to take his word and return it to him. I liked what one old lady did. She lived a hard life, but she believed God. She had a lot of kids. Her husband had passed away. She picked up that Bible and said, Lord God, your word said that you'd take care of me and you'd meet my needs. And she didn't go in lack. What was she doing? She was doing just exactly what God said, to remind him of his word, reason together with him. So we take his word, we return it to him. The Bible says that the word of God does not return to him void. When you return his word to him, that has power. And then you use the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands to attention. The very throne of God backs that name. You got to understand just how powerful this is. You take his word when you go into your prayer room and you use the name of Jesus. Look at John 16, 23 and 24 again. In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus stated God's will right here. It's very important to understand this. Nobody, through prayer and faith, can push something off on someone else which that person doesn't want. That being said, another person's unbelief, however, cannot affect your prayers or your needs. God always answers prayers. He always answers prayers. And when you ask in the name of Jesus and you return his word to him, you pray according to his will, the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Now look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. When people say, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe, sometimes he says later, that's doubt and unbelief. They truly do not understand the Word of God, and they do not understand God himself. They do not understand the Father. They do not understand the power of the name of Jesus. They let doctrine, they let the traditions of men and religion outweigh what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter 5, they wrote down some specific directions for us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Some may say, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. That's not in the Bible. Did you know that is not in the Bible? It's not in there. That's not in the Bible. If prayer does not work, it is because you do not work the word. Ask the Father in my name. I will endorse that. And the Father will give it to you. Return his word to him by thanking him for what he gave you in the Bible. Thank you, Father, that by his stripes I was healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for this. What did you just do? you just believed the word of God and you stepped out in faith and you said, yes, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you. You just received it. You know, Jesus thanked his way to miracles. One time, he was standing in the obstacle in front of him would seem like an impossible situation. Because his friend Lazarus had already been embalmed and wrapped up. The spice has been put on him. And he had wrapped up in his grave clothes. And he was in the tomb. And he'd been in there for 4 days. Jesus went up there and said, Father, I thank you that you hear my prayers. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. 4 days. Have you ever wondered why 4 days? Why that's mentioned? Because Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. But his body didn't see corruption. I mean, in the Jewish traditions, see, Jesus was meddling with their religion. In the Jewish traditions, the body could be in the tomb, and the spirit of that man just kind of hung around for 3 days. But once corruption set in, then the spirit would go away. So here's Lazarus in the tomb for 4 days. The wedding criers, or the funeral criers, were there. You know, on that day they used to pay people to come and scream and wail at the funerals. So they were there. They'd already paid them. They were there doing their job, wailing and bawling and screaming and crying. The fourth day, Jesus raised this man back to life. And he came walking out of that tomb. Can you imagine the Pharisees and the scribes standing there saying, this doesn't add up. His spirit's supposed to be somewhere else, and here he is. Amen? But God always answers prayers. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark 16, verse 17. These signs. Oh, that's Luke. Mark 16, verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Did you notice he said, in my name? He said, in my name. Use the name of Jesus for absolutely everything. Right there, he was showing us that we have authority in the name of Jesus against all powers of darkness. All powers of darkness. Every single demon from Satan on down has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are co-workers with God. Paul said right there, he said, we then as workers together with him. Well, that's the body of Christ. See, when Jesus was down here on this earth, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Yeah? But then he created a group of 70 and he sent them out two by two to go out there and do what he was doing. But then he had a little tighter crew that he called his 12 apostles. But then he had three that he took to the Rock of Gethsemane. He took to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they boiled it down to one. Do you know he narrowed it down to one? When he was on the cross, he looked at John. And he pointed, well, he couldn't point, but he looked at John and said, Behold your mother. And he looked at his mom and said, Behold your son. He was in the process of adoption when he was on the cross. He trusted John with his mom. You know? Not his own half-brothers, sisters. He trusted John with his mom. What do you suppose that was? John ran around calling himself the apostle whom Jesus loved. He focused on the love of God. He focused on how much God loved him. Yeah? And oddly enough, he's the one apostle that didn't die a martyr's death. They tried to kill him. They boiled him in oil. And that didn't do nothing to him. So they sent him to Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And it got where they evidently, I read an account of him, he was very old, and they would just carry him to these meetings wherever he went. He died of old age. All the others died a horrible martyr's death. But we're co-workers with God. The way you become a co-worker with God is to use his name. Use the name of Jesus. And then what happens? Remember in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. So when you use his name, he goes into action. Amen? It's just like having the key to the treasure vault. Everything that you need is wrapped up in Jesus. And we use his name to access it. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's power and authority that he gave you in his name. Now, Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. These go hand in hand, not by themselves, but to come into agreement. This thing has been so muddied. I don't know if a lot of people really understand what this means. This agreement he's talking about is being of one accord, just like they were in the upper room, being of one accord. Not divided. You know, we don't have one idea on this aisle and another idea on this aisle. One accord. One accord. The same thing. I had a lady come up to me one time, said, we need to do the prayer of agreement. And I said, okay, what's going on? What are we agreeing on? She said, I can't talk about it. Just pray in tongues. And I said, maybe you didn't understand what you just said. You want to do the prayer of agreement, but I don't know what I'm agreeing to? So you got to know exactly what you're agreeing on. That's why this is the thing. When you see something that you want to pray for, find the word in the Bible, the answer for that problem. And everybody that you're going to get into your little group needs to look at this verse, the same verse. Look at the same verse and come into agreement on that and then pray that verse. Amen? It's hard to get a whole body into agreement, but it has to be. Jesus will get us all into agreement. He's going to bring the church together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine, not our ideas, but the unity of the faith. We're going to be in agreement. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you for everything you, as our high priest, does daily for us, making our prayers perfect, interceding for us, watching over us, guiding us and teaching us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.